takes me by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Again, good to have Brother and Sister Dale back with us. Amen. Amen. Have them in the house. Amen. Amen. So let's remember these prayer requests that we read this morning. Brother Ryan said, thank you, Lord, for protecting our property from a tree that fell this morning. The top broke off and kept it from hitting our building.
Amen.
You think about that in the Bible in the Old Testament where they tied the prophet to the bottom side of that tree and they cut the tree down and it went up the hill and killed all of them. They cut the tree down. So it's exactly God looking after you, buddy. Sister Kathy Gable says, please pray for Mom and Francis, Cole, and Dylan. They all have COVID. All right. Please remember Brother and Sister Harris. She has COVID, and she is not doing good. Please remember Brother Collie and Brother Darty. We know this morning, they, because of the weather, they watching in this morning or this afternoon. Sister Esther's cousin, Wiley Wade, still in ICU. Now he's on a ventilator, so we know a God.
Amen.
That those words don't mean anything. Ventilators, COVID, cancer. He don't get worried about those numbers. We do, but he doesn't. Amen?
Amen.
Also, Sister Regina said Dayton, a 26-year-old friend of Kendrick's, passed away suddenly. 26 years old. Remember the Kendrick and the family. Also, Angie Brown had a request about her dad and her mom and for herself also. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we come again in the afternoon, Lord of the day. Father, we pray that you'll visit us one more time. Lord, I pray that you'll be in the song service, Lord, and you'll be in the ministering, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us in this prayer time. That you'll minister to each one of these needs, Father, and there's many more in our heart that we could, Lord, each person could be here all day. Talking about requests, Lord, and people they've met, people that are sick, people that are sin sick. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd be with, Lord, each one that we hold in our heart, that you will minister to each one, Father, the great physician that can do surgery and not even leave a mark. Father, that's you, Lord. But while we live here, Lord, we still bow our heads to the ground that we came from. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd touch all of our bodies, Lord. Be with Brother Chris today, Lord. Keep him strong and strengthen him, Lord. Be with each one, Lord, that had to travel, the ones that are traveling somewhere else, Lord, and the ones that are sick that are in the congregation, Lord, and the ones that are at home. Father, we pray that you minister each one, Lord. Be with us in the furtherment of this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. God bless you. Brother Bob will be speaking for us Wednesday night, so don't forget that. You can be seated.
Thank you.
told me love's sweetest old story. They told me a wonderful name. It thrilled all my soul with its glory. It burned in my heart like a flame. They told me of one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They say he was born in a manger, that there was no room in the inn, that in his own world was a stranger. But loved it in spite of its sin. They say that his path led to Calvary, and that one day he died there in shame. He gave his great life as a ransom. Oh, tell me his name again. Tell me his name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They call him the sweet rose of Sharon. They call him the lily so fair. They call him the blessed rock of ages. They call him the bright morning star. He's prophet and priest and redeemer. The King of all kings he shall reign. He's coming in power and in glory. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody.
Amen.
If you don't mind, I'll take a minute to expound on that prayer request for that friend of Kendrick's. This is Dayton right here. He was 26 years old. Good-hearted boy. I think that visuals and more of the story guides us in our prayers. His mother, her name is Tana. This was her only child. It took in vitro to get him here. So please, please pray for her. Okay, thank you. In the Black Spiral book, number 27, if you'd like to follow along. And I'm practicing my key, so y'all pray for me that I could stay in the sea. I was thinking to myself just the other night, how good the Lord has been to me. How he left his home above just to show us his love. How he died so we could be free. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus is waiting, we'll soon be celebrating. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? He's told us he's gone to prepare us a place where time will be counted no more. No sickness, no crying, no sadness, no dying. He's waiting to open the door. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus is waiting, we'll soon be celebrating. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Just think about the loved ones who's gone on before. What a blessed reunion that will be. Our fathers and mothers, our sisters and our brothers, so many we're waiting to see. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus is waiting, our loved ones are waiting. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus is waiting, we'll soon be celebrating. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Jesus is waiting, we'll soon be celebrating. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Praise God. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Let's go, people. Let's go.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
If you would, turn to me to number 612 in the Spiral Book.
Amen.
As the deer. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are
are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy.
To see you, to see.
see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Come on, Lord,
pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. That was wonderful.
Amen.
Love the choice of songs also.
Amen.
Everybody feeling all right?
Amen.
I know we're praying for folks that don't exactly feel all right, but we're feeling so much better.
Amen.
Talking about this good old way.
Amen.
Is that right? God bless you. Thank you, musicians.
Amen.
Amen. Talking about this good old way.
Amen.
And it just gets better and better and better.
Amen.
I sure like it. God bless you, Brother Samuel, Sister Peggy. Good to be able to be in the same room with you. Amen. And I appreciate the confidence and the love that Brother Samuel has shown to me. And Brother Wade. Amen. Sister June and all of you. It's a real privilege and real honor. And I'm happy to be able to find another place where we can share God's word the way He's revealed it to us.
Amen.
And if you'll notice, I do this on purpose. I've been put upon by not men in our church, but men in other church. Hey, brother, you read too many quotes. Well, you read too much scripture. You understand where I'm coming from? See, it's been revealed to me that the message of the hour is the Bible in a more modern interpretation, but then even in that, there is revelation hidden in there that ties it back to the Bible. That's the reason why we can go back and forth between the scripture and the message and not miss it. Does everybody know what a dovetail is? It's not the tail of a bird. It's a fitting in cabinetry and woodwork where you put together the two sides of the drawer, and I'll tell you what, a dovetail usually forms a corner. And we're turning corner after corner after corner right now. God is good to us. If you take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll just continue on. I'll get as far as the Lord leads. And well, you just have to be hungry enough to look into the Word of God and finish the course. That's what Paul said he did. That's what we're going to do. Run the race, finish the course, fight the good fight. When you have Ephesians 1, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to read verses 3 through 9 and then 15 through 23. And yes, I will try really hard not to preach on every word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Man, we can't lose. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in in himself. Now I'm going to hold on and not read verse 10. Let's drop down to 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul got excited, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. I want you to notice, not to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, you have eyes of understanding, but they require enlightenment. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, I thought he came forth to get the book out of his own right hand. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, which means this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's pray. Father, Lord, without you, we could do and we would be nothing. But with you, Lord, we are all things in Christ. We're so grateful, Father, for the revelation of it, for the sweet words, Lord, that you'll speak to us through, Father. And we realize it's by revelation, because you spoke to many, Father, but it just got boiled down to a handful or two, Lord, that actually would stand by without understanding, Lord, but to whom else could they go? For you alone, and you alone, Lord, have the words of eternal life. We pray, Father, that you'd help us. Let us settle down, Lord. Let the food that we partake in of, Father, let it not overcome us. Father, let us be on the edge of our seats, Father, waiting to hear from you. We didn't come here to hear a man, Lord. We didn't come to see one, Father. We came here because you asked us if we would like to come. And we responded by being here, Father, and we're willing to receive. Be it unto us according to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, while you've got Ephesians in your hand, I said I didn't purposely skip over verse 10, but the reason that I stopped right there is because I would have had to preach on it. Verse 10, Ephesians 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, remember something, because I've heard different ministers speak on this, and I don't disagree with them, but part of what I think there is a misunderstanding on is the word dispensation. Dispensation is a span. It's not an instance. It's a span of time, and activities start, take place, and then eventually play themselves out in the word dispensation. So you see, it's like the age that we live in. Now, we live in the Laodicean church age. Is that right? But the prophet of God mentions the bride age. He mentions an eternal age. He mentions a rapturing age. Now, what we need to understand is that only for the bride, she realizes that the Laodicean church age is this dispensation or expanse of time. And while she has to live in it, she's not of it. You see, that's why there was an open door between the sixth and the seventh age. You come up. Come on up. There's a door open now. You and I didn't open it. It was already opened. It was opened because God used a man to open that door. But now we're in the seventh age. The most treacherous. The most deceiving. The most diabolical. But the most complete age. Amen. Because seven is completion in God's mathematical realm. That's why I try to instill in you and the people that I speak to, we have a job to do. We have something that we can accomplish. You may not realize it in your day-to-day walk and thoughts, but brothers and sisters, God has ordained a group of people. And He's defined them this way. We, which are alive and remain, shall not hinder those which have gone on before us. And I'll tell you why the word hinder is used, is because we've come to the realization through the revelation of the word that we can't hinder them, because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. So therefore, we're told they're waiting on us. Why would they be waiting on us? We're not going to die. Waiting on us to come to the full, mature revelation of the plan of God, and that God has children that will fulfill every word. We're not talking about the letter of the law, because you see, the word is the Logos. It's not the letters on the papers that we're reading, it's the manifestation of the supernatural God. Now that manifestation, that Logos, has to become flesh in order to complete the cycle. That's why Jesus Christ came, walked, talked, breathed, ate. And you think He was pain free? Oh no. Oh no, He was far from pain free. And look at the kind of body He was walking in. He wasn't walking in the kind of body that you and I walk in. It wasn't brought into this world the way that you and I were brought through, you understand, through desire. It was brought by the Word of God. Yet in that, He aged. He got tired. He had severe headaches, we're told. Migraines, unbelievable. Because that man that we know as Jesus was a man. But he had the life, the spirit of God living in him. Still with me? All right. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So now we're going to wind up everything. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now I'll tell you what gets me right there. The word gather. You know me. I'm going to read you the definition. Because brothers and sisters, that's how God reveals these things to me and gives them so that I can also give them out. Amen. Just bear with me. It's here. It's awesome. So I'm going to look for it till I find it. Amen. I got it here somewhere. Just bear with me. I'm sure I put it in here, because it'll become important to you and me as we begin to find out what these things mean. Well, I had it here somewhere. I ain't going to worry about it. The word gather in the Bible is to bring one or more entities into focus. It's to have a peripheral number of things that need to be brought into one place so that they can be counted and recognized. So He's going to gather together in one. Now remember, it's one body, many members. So now this gathering that Paul is talking about in Ephesians is going to require the members to be formed and brought, corralled, if you would, into one entity. Now, how do we get into this body? How do you become a part of this gathering? You're baptized by one Spirit into this body. There's no more conflict now. Why? Because it's one Spirit. It's not two, it's not five, it's not mine, it's not yours. It's His. It's His Spirit that takes you and I from where we were to where we need to be. I believe that with all my heart. But remember, it's His Spirit, so quit fighting His Spirit. You're not fighting me. This is not a battle against flesh and blood. No matter what I say to you or what anybody says to you, you're not fighting them. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a battle against principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. What a war. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that according to the living God, He won and beat the enemy.
Amen.
He beat the enemy. Beat him. Beat him at his own game. What is his game? Death. That's all he's got, is to try to take you and I to the end as if we had no hope, but Paul said, sorrow not. As those who have no hope. Because the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, if we're not going to hinder and we're going to be alive and remain, then we must have something to do. We must be involved in, or what we must be defined by.
Amen.
The Lord Himself.
Yes.
Because He's the one doing the descending. But it's not the physical corporal body of Jesus Christ that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. It's a voice. It's a trump. You understand? It's an archangel. You see, it's not the physical corporal body. And the reason I want you to see that is because it's still taking place right now.
Yeah.
I love to say this. There are those who are waiting on the coming of the Lord. But the coming of the Lord has been revealed in that He is here. So for some, He's still coming. For you and I, He's here, but He never stops moving. Those four living creatures in the book of Ezekiel never go backwards. Yep, it's got four faces because no matter which direction they move in, the eagle and the ox, the lion and the man, He's always moving forward. And that's what you and I are required to do. We can't sit still. We can't lean back on our laurels. We can't say, well, you know what? And I know folks that believe this. Well, I got the Holy Ghost, brother, and that's the seal of God, and I don't have to do nothing. Well, I read in my Bible where once you get the seal of God, there is something else to do. What is it? You must be opened. Something's got to open you up.
Amen.
So that what's contained inside of you can be shared with the dead. Because the only living hope they got. Know ye not that ye are written epistles? Read of all men. Now you're a walking, talking. Listen now. To many people, the Bible is a biography. You know what a biography is? It's something written by someone else for someone else. But an autobiography is that person themselves writing down about themselves. So this is an autobiography to you and me. This is not just a biography. That's why He said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? You don't realize, brothers and sisters, maybe how simple and how oft quoted that scripture is, but how important it is. Because once you grasp the true depth of what's going on when Jesus said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Give me your opinion. Well, some say you're this, and some say you're that. Some say you're Elias, and some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, and some say... I understand my biography. But since I'm the guy, she said, "I want to know who you personally believe that I am. Amen. Who am I?"
Amen.
Now, what do you think, Peter? Do you think Peter reached into his pocket? Got his notebook out? Well, I wrote this down about him, and I wrote that down about him, and wrote this down about him. But through an act, a supernatural act. See, that's where we lack a lot of times. Do you realize that when you get a revelation, a true revelation of anything in God's Word, it wasn't the preacher, it wasn't the prophet, it wasn't the recording, it wasn't the reading of it, it wasn't even you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, man. You should be feeling good. You ought to run the aisles if you're getting revelation, because it ain't you. A lot of the running the aisles and jumping across the pews is them. But I'm talking about when the Word of God is eternally, internally revealed to you. You're like, there is a man who can turn on the light. He's got to be living in my heart because I don't even know where the switch is. But he does. He's the master. And he makes it happen. And he said, well, brother, it's not happening to me. Surrender.
Amen.
Put them hands up in the air and say, "Lord, man, I haven't gotten nothing this far, Lord, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep surrendering. You leave that skeleton key on the end of that kite long enough. Get her up there. Get her up there." He knew that once lightning struck that key on the end of that kite, a light was going to come on. You just keep them up there. Keep them hands up there. If they get weak, give them a rest. The next time a storm comes, they'll run outside. Get that key up there. Get that kite in the air. Say, "Lord, you have to keep your word. And I'm surrendering to you, Lord, with everything that's in me." And of course, the little guy, you know, on the shoulder there, with the pitchfork and the little horns, he says, "Yeah, right." But don't listen to him. Listen to the other guy over there that says, "Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I know you can do it. Keep them hands up in the air. It'll happen because he's the God of his word." But he's testing you. Oh, test. I've been tested so many times. I'm about wore out. Yeah, but he wants to see how long. You'll wait. You know why? Because we live in an impatient time. Come on, I'm one of you. You're like me. Somebody gets in the way on the road and we're in a hurry. Come on. We pull up to the fast food restaurant. Chick-fil-A is terrible, man. You're back way, way back. Two lines. Wait. So get there early. You know, before you get hungry.
Yeah.
By the time you get your food, you'd be feeling good. You understand? This is the day we live in. Everything is impatient. We're frustrated when the internet speed slows down to 1 zillion. Come on, man. Come on. And God says, "Well, I got the remedy for that. Keep your hands up in the air." He's so good to us. I'm going to tell you that right now. I wanted to read to you out of Ephesians also, chapter 6. Verse 10 through 17. You want to see something in the air? Just hang on. When you have it, say amen. I know the brothers put it up there, but I sure like the sound of the pages turning. And you know, I mentioned that to her brother and he came up with some app. that made the sound of pages turning. They got one. I said, I think God wants you to do it. Finally. Finally. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. I mean, if you read this the way I do, there's no guarantee here. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And don't we know it? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I want you to notice the armor we're using doesn't look like very good protection. Depends on what you're fighting. This is not a physical battle. It's not a flesh and blood battle. And your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, well, that's a guarantee, the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is that right? All right, I'm going to finish the definition of the word symbol. And we're going to go to Revelations 5. I read to you the beginning part of it. Out of the dictionary, literally a token of identity verified by comparing its other half, something that stands for or suggests something else. Listen to this one. By reason of relationship, association, convention, or accidental resemblance. That's right. Listen now. Especially a visible sign of something invisible. You see where we come in? With this body, brothers and sisters, you may not know it because you bypassed your theophany, but this body is a symbol, a visible symbol of something invisible. We represent something else. The kingdom. And that kingdom has a king. And that king is Jesus. Watch this. Last definition. An object. How many knows what the definition of the word God is? An object of worship. A symbol is an object or act representing something in the unconscious mind. I didn't write this. I just got the dictionary out. That's been repressed. And do you realize, brothers and sisters, that what's happening to us through the Word of God in the hour we live in, that there's something back there in the back part. Well, yeah, but now it's your mind. You see, because we all make up a portion of the body of Christ. And the day that you and I live in is the portion of the body of Christ, the feet age, Paul. Body's building up higher and higher and higher. And of course, God sent a prophet. So what is a prophet? Mouthpiece. Oh, but that's not all he is. He's the eyes. That's why he's represented by an eagle, because he can get way, way, way up there and look way, way down and off across the horizon and say, thus saith the Lord. Because I see a vision. That's some good eyes. Now, if it don't come to pass, don't believe him. But if it comes to pass, the Bible says you listen to those eyes. Through that mouth that I put in that face of that prophet. You with me? But guess what? It ain't over. Watch this. Can these bones live? Oh yeah. My wife says, honey, if you don't eat more, you're going to dry up and blow away. Can these bones live? Yes.
Amen.
There's something on the inside of the believer. It doesn't fear death. I'll tell you how strong that belief is. When Jesus said, I have the power to lay my life down and pick it up. Now you and I don't have that power that way, but if we're in Him, the power's in us. It's laying there. We don't have to fear death. If the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Is that right? That's a reality, brothers and sisters. That's not just a statement. It's not words in a book to me. Oh death, Paul said, where is thy sting? See, Paul had that revelation. Come on. It's just, Brother Branham said, harnessed. Something harnessed to take us to a better place. But brothers and sisters, I believe the scripture tells us again that there will be a group of people. Now, can I ask you a question? Why not you? Why not me? Oh, well, what if you die tomorrow? Praise the Lord. I just got on the bus early. But God has an elect, select, special. I like to call them special forces, but it's not that kind of battle. That He has ordained because He knows they're a part of Him so much so that they won't back down. Oh, I'm not talking about picking a fight with your neighbor. I'm talking about they won't back down from God's word and its truth. And they will slay the enemy at any and every opportunity by, but it's also written. Listen here, devil. You come at me with your sticks and your stones, but the word of God is sharper, more powerful. You want to talk about a weapon with this armor? But my emphasis in this entire scripture is stand. It's like putting your hands up in the air. Keep them there until the light comes on.
Amen.
And let me tell you something about these hands. Once the light comes on, you don't want to put them down.
That's right.
It's not a one night stand.
Yeah.
It's not just one bolt of lightning.
Yep. No. Come
on. It's the power of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Once it strikes the filament of your soul. We don't have to be like Thomas Edison in an experiment. He's already done it for us. It's been proven. This is ours, brothers and sisters, because God gave it to us. We don't have what it takes without Him to possess it. But with Him, He's the Creator of the universe, of anything and everything. Now listen, you have to believe that.
Amen.
Emphatically. Absolutely. Because without that core belief, the devil will persuade you any way he can. He doesn't care what he has to use. He doesn't love you. He hates you. He doesn't want to see you happy. He wants to see you sad and upset, downtrodden, disappointed, unfulfilled. That's his job. Is that how you want to feel? I don't really think anybody wants, but people get so despondent. They see no reason to live. That's because they misunderstand life. Let me tell you what eternal life is. And I didn't make up the definition. I'm just repeating what the what God's dictionary says. Eternal life is living for others. You start living for others, and something will begin to take place inside of you that the devil can't touch. Now, unfortunately, because we're creatures of time, living for others is also dying for others. Oh, not for their sins. But you're expending the valuable life that you have while you're here for a purpose that you don't think is gaining you much ground. But when it comes to the judgment, it won't be a lion. It'll be a lamb. That's what we're looking for. Revelations 5. Yes, we read it, but I want to put emphasis on something if it's okay with you.
Amen.
I know that we read this morning verses 1 through 4 or 5. I'm going to start at verse 5. If you got it, say amen. Or when the brothers give it up on the... Okay. You ready? Listen now. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to mention this to you who study the message. It's the very reason, this portion of scripture is the very reason why Brother Branham was concerned. If I use the word distraught, it wouldn't be the correct exact definition, but he was concerned. When he was speaking on what time is it, sirs, or is this the time of the end, sirs, or sirs, is this the time? You know the message I'm talking about?
Amen.
He was concerned.
Yep.
Read it. Listen to it. He had family members that weren't saved. He had, and he thought, could this be it? Could this be? Is this the sign of the end? Because he realized that it would be judgment.
Yep. Right.
Everything would come to a halt. And things and people as we know them would be judged based on the moment they came to a halt. Just like this elder saying, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Oh no, it's judgment. Because the lion is the judge. Guess what he is? He's the king. Not of the earth. Of beasts. See how judgment comes? He's the king of beasts. And there's an image to the beast. And there's a beast. And these bodies of flesh, without a soul, are beasts. The animal kingdom. And while King David, under inspiration, killed a lion, you try it. Brother Branham himself even said, mm-mm. He didn't go lion hunting in Africa with a slingshot. He had special loads made. So he could be sure and take that thing down. You understand where we're at, brothers and sisters? We're right on the threshold of judgment, and the only difference between judgment for humanity, for you and I, and salvation is what you see. Because John turned to see a lion, thinking, this is it. Behold, the great judgment is going to come up before us. But John, being a type and a representative of the church, turned. What's the Bible say? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. I'm putting emphasis right now as I finish this portion of this message tonight on the lamb standing. Remember, it's location, location, location. So, Brother Branham, again, as I've already repeated to you, is John hadn't seen the lamb up to this time. He was expecting to see judgment. He was expecting to see the king of beasts. He was expecting to see lion. And he turned and he hadn't seen the lamb before, Brother Bram said. I hope you get this. He was way back in the eternities. Where was he? Well, it's defined in the word midst. Midst. The dictionary says location. The middle. Oh, but here's where it's found its root. Listen carefully. A position. What does the prophet of God constantly say the bride is lacking? The revelation of her position. Once she gets in her position, he says, then she'll be ready for the rapture, right? I'm just paraphrasing to you what the prophet has said. A position of proximity. So if they say he's in the desert, go not forth. If they say he's here, go. No, you don't have to do that because he should be within you. That puts you in the proximity. So this is a position of proximity to the members of a group. It's the very reason why Brother Branham was inspired and compelled by God to use the word eternities. You get that? It's plural. How can there be more than one? It's like I say, how can there be more than one omnipotence? When two omnipotence, that doesn't even make sense. What, are they going to wrestle to a tie? Think about it. Is it a draw when they get together to box? A-L-L, all powerful is what omnipotence. All. There's nothing greater than. Everything is less than. But how can two of those meet? The same way this lamb is hidden back in the eternities because he's in the midst of members. Oh, I want you to get this. If nothing else, he's in the midst. John hadn't seen him because he was inside. His members. They don't see Jesus when they see you. They mock you. They want to crucify you. They want to impugn you. You don't look like Jesus to me. Here, turn these stones to bread. Come on. It's the mentality of people. Well, you don't look much like Jesus to me. No, that's because you don't see him. He's in the midst of the eternities. Did you realize, brothers and sisters, that when you have God living in you, you have eternal life? Amen. What does that make you? An eternity. Amen. This lamb was hidden to the view of all who did not know where he was at. But God permitted John, because the book of Revelation is a book of symbols, and he wanted to make sure that you and I, January the 2nd, 2022, had a reference that we could depend on. Something that we could look into and go, I've said it so many times, but I see it more and more myself. You know, the little boy. He'd never seen himself before. They went to visit the wealthy aunt. She had a mirror in the hallway, and he's playing down in the bedrooms, and he comes out and the hallway door happened to close. What's that? He'd never seen one. Think of now, you and I, a mirror doesn't, but if you'd never seen one, you would think, what is that? Then he figures it out. He starts walking towards him, and he notices that it's walking towards him, and he gets up and he moves his head to the left, and he moves his hands in. Hey. Yeah.
hey, that's a strange object.
Yeah, that's right. That's you.
I never seen that before. Well, brothers and sisters, do you realize by the revelation of Jesus Christ, as you begin to look into the mirror of God's Word, eventually, when you bob your head to the left, it bobs its head to the left. And when you go to the right, and when you move your arms, and when you begin to stand, see, having done all to stand, do you realize, brothers and sisters, I can read it to you, where Brother Branham tells us that once the Lamb reaches that book and gets it in his hand, it's over. Soul's in prison now, he says it towards the end of the... It's over. So then, you would think that we would want to keep him from getting that book in his hands. So we could buy some time. But what we are failing to recognize is that the reaching for and the reception of what we found out now is not an actual book, but a manifest. A list of names. They have a much greater meaning. And that motion of that Lamb standing is the resurrection of life. And you and I were dead in sin and trespasses. But now we live. But not I, Paul said, but Christ that liveth in me. So brothers and sisters, when that last one comes in, Brother Branham tells us, the book is closed. The book is not available. What's in that book is no longer pertinent. It does not pertain. Why? Because what's in that book is you and I. And when the last one gets in position, meaning the revelation of that book, remember, it's not an actual book. It's a symbol. But the revelation of what's going on in Revelation, think about it. You say, how? Have you ever read Revelations 4? So where's the first throne? Heaven. If you've never studied it before, it's in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Second throne in Christ. Third throne in the heart of man. Is that right? Do you have a Scofield Bible? You don't have to have one. I'm just asking. Revelations 4, it says, things which shall be hereafter, the seven seals, and then introduction to the throne in heaven. But the third throne is in the heart of man. You start reading. Now remember, this is a book of symbols. You start reading in Revelation 4 and you go, wow, that's tremendous. Yeah, did you realize where that's taking place? In your heart. But it's because it's in symbol form. It looks like, well, that's a crazy, wild thing. But God knows what He can do with you. And you may not realize it, but when He comes in and you are caught up because of Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you get to see things hereafter. Not everybody gets to see them. Only the bride of Christ is in this catching away. Now a lot of people will say, well wait a minute now, Brother Branham said from Revelation chapters 1 through 3 is the church ages. Yes he did. I believe that. But that's not all he said. Watch what else he said. In the book of Daniel. Now in the third chapter the church was gone up. But now, redemption is to be revealed. Watch the word Brother Branham uses. How the church was redeemed. The revelation of what taken place during the church age. See, the church is gone. So he is now showing in the fifth chapter how he did it. Isn't that important?
It is to those who are involved in how he did it. It doesn't pertain to everybody else. It pertains to a group, a select members, number of people who have looked in the mirror of his word and says, Mama, that's me. That's me. I see that. That's me, Mama. What taken place? How he sealed the church off? I'm still reading the revelation of his name. Water baptism, using his name. Eternal life, no eternal hell, serpent seed, eternal security, all the great doctrines, predestination of the church. That was revealed to the church. He's showing how he done it. So that's the reason why it's important for you and I to go beyond the church ages. But we don't throw them out. They're the conduit. They're the vehicle. They're the way that the life is moving through the church. But the life has a destination. What is that destination? The kernel. The seed. Its original form. You know that pillar of fire we have a picture of? Did you know that was Jesus? It's the same pillar of fire Paul saw. I'm Jesus, he said, whom thou persecutest. It was a pillar of fire. He said, I came from God. I go back to God. Brothers and sisters, you may not realize it in closing, but that's what's being revealed to you and me. You see, we couldn't make the statement emphatically because we bypassed something. But God permitted us to bypass it so that he could express the attributes that were bottled and closed up in him but wanted to get out. Now that those attributes have been expressed, guess what? We want to go home. We want to go home. If you've been saved, you know it. That's how, if you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Well, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it.
Amen.
So then if you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Please stand. We go on for hours. I'm going to stop right there. God is good. All the time, that's right. He sure is. God's word has got no ending, so we gotta stop somewhere. Is that right? Amen. I think I'd like to sing and then I'll give it to you, brother. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower and the righteous run into it and guess what happens? We're saved. Is that right? We're saved. Amen. Well, the name of
the Lord is
a strong
tower.
Oh yeah,
the righteous run into it, and they are saved.
The Lord is
a strong tower. The righteous run into it,
and they are saved. What we're gonna sing?
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, just run into it, and we are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high.
Let's give our brother a good hand. I believe he was just getting started. He's just getting started, Chris. Okay. All right. Amen. Okay. But good to be here. Thank you for all for coming. I failed to mention today, I announced it on Friday, but we know Brother Al Kennard died, Friday, so we want to really keep the family in prayer. Sister Anna, Sister Rebecca, and I think his son Andy and different ones. Just keep them in your prayer. They're going to cremate him, and then we'll have a service later on. So just remember them in prayer, amen, for the loss. Also remember Brother Joe Canada. They're coming back. He sent me a message this morning. They're driving through a snowstorm in Arkansas. So it's coming this way. So we're just going to pray that it ain't going to be this come here. We're going to have some warmer weather, and it's not going to stick, so. Remember all the ones on the highway. We're getting through all this holiday season, and now we're going to try to get through all this sick season and get everybody healed and take your vitamin C and whatever else you need to do. Get healthy, and we'll start having full church again. So good to have each and every one of you here. We've had a good weekend. Thank you all for what you did, all the food and all the help that you gave us on Friday. And then also today, thank you for your participation. Without you, Chris wouldn't even get an amen. It wouldn't be nobody here. He wouldn't even get an amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. See what I mean? Amen. But just remember the ones that are sick, the ones that are, I think, how's Jeffrey?
His oxygen level was 98, so I didn't have
to. Oh, so he's better then.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Amen. So Jeffrey, we know Amy's got COVID, but Jeffrey's sick too, so let's remember them. And all hearts and minds clear. We got everything we need. Yes, I'm sorry. I looked right at you, and I was going to ask you, how's your dad?
He's on a little bit better.
Okay.
He's still a little weak.
Still a little weak, but he's good. Okay. And Brother Orr used to come to church here. That's his son. And good-looking son.
Amen.
And good to have him with us. He's been coming with us for a while now, and coming back, trying to serve the Lord, kind of like me, you know, that you disappear, then you come back. You know, so he disappeared for a little while, then he come back. So just glad that he's a part of us. Amen. And moved up closer to here. You moved in a new house yet? Okay, good. Good job. Sister Barbara? Okay. They missed singing today. So yeah, you won't be singing for another year. We're being cautious. If you feel bad, don't, you know, we're not going to, you need to stay at home. But listen, if your cat gets sick, you need to come on to church. We need to stop it somewhere where if you got the sniffles, you need to come on. You know? Amen, right? How many times has that man standing right over there told y'all, if you're sick, you need to come to church?
Amen.
This is where you need to get prayed for.
Amen.
Right? Exactly.
Right.
So I think we had to back off that a little bit because of COVID, but still though, really, this is a place for prayer. This is a place where,
right.
Have you ever felt bad and just come on to church?
Right.
I'll guarantee you 99% of the time, you feel a lot better.
That's right.
When you're here. Now, you may feel worse when you get to the house. But I've come up here with headaches and body aches, and I know Chris has too, and you just say, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, and then you just forget about it.
Right.
And you get, the anointing comes, and then, you know, it doesn't even bother you anymore. Oh. Amen. So you know what? This is where I'd like to stay then. Because right. You know what, Brother Chris? This is what's going to happen when the alive and remain get changed.
Amen.
We're not going to have bad days.
Amen.
Amen? We have bad days now, but we're not going to have bad days when the body change comes.
Right.
Mom. About, yes, downstairs.
I'm not sure about this, but Zach came out the house yesterday, stayed way away from him. And he said, I don't know, I thought he said maybe when he was praying there, he would watch something. We're all sick and all that. But Anna, his Anna, has had the COVID.
Right. Well, prayer works, folks. Prayer works. When you break the airwaves, something's got to happen. Chris, when two omnipotents meet. Somebody preached that one time here. Oh, okay. But when two, but you got to speak. Didn't Brother Brown say we need to be in a speaking condition? Sure, faith comes by hearing. We've heard for years and years and years. Now it's time for us to, like I said before, let what's inside of us out.
Right.
Quit binding it. Let it out. I don't care if it's the devil. You want him out.
Right.
Amen? Like I said before, I want everybody to feel comfortable except the devil. I do not want him to feel comfortable in this building. I want him to feel like he needs to leave, because when you feel uncomfortable, what do? You leave.
Right.
Amen? That's why Joanna and Chris are leaving tomorrow. Brother George Smith said, though, 3 days, you know, visitors are like fish. After 3 days, kick them out. But we eat fish last night. I'm sorry. Whoops. So anyway, but we love them and we enjoy them. I know you do. You feel real comfortable. Chris feels real comfortable bringing the message to you. And that's the testimony of Brother Dale, how he tells us how to treat people. Treat people like brothers and sisters. Amen? Not some second rate, first rate. Even though we might be second team. Second choice. You know, there was one time that Henry Aaron, I believe the first time he went to bat, he struck out. 1959 with the Milwaukee Braves, I think the first up bat he struck out. He didn't quit though. He went on to hit 714 home runs and be one of the best ball players that ever lived. So we all start somewhere. Amen? We all start somewhere. So we're starting this new year. Brother Bob will be speaking for us Wednesday night, and then we should be having regular service. Remember me, they did my PSA. I haven't got the results back, but I'm going to have a heart cath next Tuesday, not this coming, but this coming Tuesday they're going to do all my blood work and all that stuff. So just pray that everything's good and okay. We've got a power that we're not tapping into. We're not tapping into it. But we can. Like Brother Chris just said, he said, it's already here. We don't have to have it coming. The whole world's looking for something to come. And that's the devil. He keeps pushing it, looking for something to come. Oh, the Bible says, oh, we've heard that since the beginning of time. You know, the Lord's coming. We've heard that since the beginning. Oh, he's going to do this since the beginning of time. They told Brother Brown, they said, days of miracles are past. Too late.
Too late.
Too late. No, news is done out, word's done out. We already been filled with the Holy Ghost, so okay. Boo devil. Ma.
I've got to go. I just fell at my top. And it makes been around that. But I'm gonna have to go all those shots on pricks put in my arm. See what I'm allergic to.
Yes, mom's gotta see what she's allergic to. So they'll be pricking her all over her body and she'll be look like she's got the mumps. Mm-hmm. I hope not. That means that she's allergic to everything, yeah. So amen. So let's just remember that. And also remember Brother J.T. Paget. He did have a stroke. Mini stroke.
But his blood pressure was really high.
Right. Yes, the blood pressure. And he still has a little droop in his face. But you know what? That's nothing to God. All these words that we put out, cancer, COVID, God's just like going, what are you talking about? Nothing to me. So let's just put it in God's hands. Brother Padgett's got a group of people that he needs to lead. So we need to pray that those people get fed. He has no other preacher in his church. So we just need to pray that that Brother Padgett gets better and he goes right on in and they don't miss a beat. Amen. Had to postpone today's service, and a lot of them are having to do that because of COVID or because the pastor's sick. Somebody called me yesterday. Oh, Brother Jewel Forney was talking to us. He said, it seems like, look what Satan's doing. He's attacking the ministry. Because, see, he knows if he's got us, but you know what? He just don't understand that we've been taught. As Chris said, I can't live your life. Dad can't live your life. The greatest gift you can give is you live the life.
Right.
Well, see, then Satan can't get to you through me.
Come on.
Exactly. Come on.
Satan can't get to you through me because Satan uses people to get to you, right?
Right.
Well, when you're sealed in, he can't get to you. He's sealed out.
That's right.
Amen?
Exactly.
Oh, and remember Brother Dutch Scott. He has COVID, and he had Brother David Gadman preaching for him today. So let's just remember all these as we travel. Brother Chris and Sister Joanna will be leaving, going to Brother Forney's on Wednesday night, right?
Yep.
And then they're going to visit, I think, Brother Gene Williams. Be here for a couple of days and then fly back out. Vote. We prayed them here. Let's pray them home. Amen. I don't like that. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Ground the plane. Send you back to my house. Yeah, I know that. I know that. I enjoy being there too, but I enjoy being in my own bed. Y'all know that. Amen. So let's bow our heads.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Danny.
I need prayer call.
Sure, come on.
Well, this morning, Brother Chris up there, if you got anything wrong with you, come up, we'll pray for you.
Right.
Of course, he went right on, and that's great.
You didn't give him time to get up here.
But I stood back there, and I claim it from here.
Okay.
My hip was killing me.
Amen. Amen. God does not have distance. He ain't a creature of time and he ain't a creature of distance.
That's right.
So what do you need this for?
Hope.
Hope? Okay. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Dear Lord, I do not have to tell this brother what these are for. He knows what they're for. He knows that we've seen cancer healed. Many different things, and he's a standing testimony that these prayer cloths, if they're placed on a body and believe, that demons have to flee.
That's right.
And Father, we pray, Lord, as we see that he's got something for his daughter, Lord, we pray that you just protect her, Father, that you'll give her strength in what she's doing, Lord. And these prayer cloths will do exactly what they're meant to be.
That's right.
We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing our brother, Lord.
Yeah.
The Gentile way with no laying on of hands. Lord, that's the way you want it. Father, be with us and bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Put them on. Only believe. Oh, you're dismissed. Only sing it as you go.